Now, Margaret, would you mind stating your full name and, if you like, date of birth? Please, for our records.
A full name?
Yes.
Margaret McBrady.
And sorry. I could say, where and when were you born?
I was born in London.
In? We all know when. 1933.
1933.
Correct.
You know that.
Yeah. Just had that because you just had a birthday. Only a month ago or so. Right. When did you first meet Paul Satori?
When he arrived in the parish.
Yeah.
You became aware that Father Coffey was quite elderly and he had Father Satori as a curate. Total different characters and type of person, Father Coffey, very gentle man, Father Coffey was. Mm-hmm. But getting on in years and quite traditional.
Yeah.
Father Satori was totally different, full of fizz and thing, charisma on legs he was. Fantastic man from that point of view. It took years before I stopped going into town and expected him to come whizzing around the corner.
You bump into
such a personality.
Yeah.
And such a sort of person that had an effect on those who were totally not Catholic, even in some ways opposed to it. When we started doing door-to-door collections, I more than once had people say, oh, well, I don't really hold with the Catholics, but Father Satori is a lovely man, and they put money in the box. He had that effect on people.
That's lovely. That's good. So your earliest memory would have been just going to Mass as a parishioner and coming across him, and then presumably you might have gotten to know him personally, but you've got to... Understand his character from his sermons and the way he was. What was he like as a priest? What was he like at Mass and sermon-wise? And
very good, because... sorry, I'm getting over a cough. He had this sort of warmth and strong belief that came across very well. I mean, all the priests have the belief, they must have, or they wouldn't be doing the job. But some of them are able to project this much more than others.
Rather than read a prepared sermon from a book, which we have sometimes.
Yes.
So that's good. Yes. Spontaneous. Mm.
Yes.
That's good. What's going to ask you now? So how would you describe him? As you say, fizzing, full of energy...
full of energy. Run rather than walk. This is fizzing with life.
Yeah. And would you say, did he have any impact on you personally, or just, would you say, particularly, or... I don't really know.
Well, yes, he did in a way, because... Sorry about this. Yes. When I first came across him, I wasn't married. My husband-to-be lived down here. And I used to come on... You can't do your courting over the telephone. So I used to take all my holidays in long weekends. Mm. And because my husband had been married before, we had... Father Satori did come out and have a cup of tea with us and talk about it, about the possibilities of whether we could. And he said, yes, it should be all right, but you have to go through the process. So
that was
good with his advice.
Yeah, it's good. And it worked. what else are we going to say? So more or less, this is a little bit repetitive now, just trying to sum him up.
Carry on.
Tried to sum him up in a few words. Again, it's a little bit repetitive now.
Oh, so well, any stories?
Anything?
Charisma on length. I mean,
that's just a good one, isn't it?
I never heard of anybody not liking him.
That's good. That's lovely.
Some had stronger feelings than others, but you know, I, as I say, either within the church or outside it. Amazing man he was.
And such a contrast to Father Coffey, who was more traditional. But did they get on?
Sorry,
did Father Coffey and Father Paul get on? What were they like as a...
They learnt to live together.
Well put.
Yes, they did.
Yeah,
they did. I think they had respect for one another, but obviously totally different sort of personalities.
Mm.
But I think it was Father Paul must have said some one day that we get by, we get along.
That's good.
Well, if you're sharing the house, you've got to.
You've got to, yes. Yeah. That's great.
And then, of course, you know, when Father Coffey got ill, and then they made him a canon, but they made Father Paul the parish priest because of the work involved.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
And Father Coffey survived Father Paul, did he?
Not very long.
No.
No.
Yeah.
He, Father Coffey had gone back to Ireland because he was ill. And he came, he made great effort, and he came to Father Paul's funeral.
Wow.
And while he was here, he got taken ill, taken into hospital.
Oh, gosh.
And as far as I remember, I don't think he ever came out.
No.
So it was a matter of weeks after Father Paul.
Yeah. And what was the impact on the parish when they both died?
Everybody was stunned and shocked and, you know, waiting to find out what was going to happen. Because Father Paul had been ill for some time.
Mm.
I remember that it was the last time I saw him, and he was actually in the parish, and he said Mass. And he had his big armchair by the altar, and he's sitting down most of the time. He stood up for the consecration, and that was about it.
But did you knew by then that he wasn't
there? Yes. Yes, everybody knew by then.
But
not sure I knew exactly how serious it was, but he was obviously very ill.
And did you know anything of his wishing to set up a hospice?
As far as I know, there was nothing to do at the time, but there was a group of people who had already started to discuss, or he had discussing with them, about some form of hospice in this area. And I was told that at one point he said, well, you'd better hurry up because I'm going to be your first patient. That's when he knew how ill he was.
Oh,
and then after he died, it gave more incentive to the original committee to start setting things up, start fundraising and so on. And that's really when I got involved, the beginning of the fundraising.
Mm-hmm. So in what way?
Well,
house to house?
Yeah, I got... I got in, taken onto the committee by you-know-who.
Oh, no. Shh. Yeah.
So we had a fundraising committee, and we started off taking our blue boxes around all the houses. And some people would give you the odd pennies out of their pocket, and other people were very generous. And as I said, some of them, they don't hold with the Catholics, but...
His reputation went before him.
His personality had affected the whole area.
That's lovely.
And they gave.
Yeah.
And we just went on collecting money in various ways. Then the outside Tesco's rattling a box.
I know.
Oh, yes.
I did a little of that, but not much. In latter years, I was just saying, going around the houses. I didn't like it.
No.
As a way of doing it. But
no,
then they set up the shop. They had the shop then on the green.
Yes.
And then it snowballed.
Yes, as gradually, as the whole idea of Pembrokeshire Hospice, if you like, as that began to grow in the community and the money began to come in, so they could expand then, so you could have the shop, you could start having the annual ball, you know, all these things gradually grew out of all that until you finish up with this.
What we have today, yeah. That's great.
About 40 years or something.
That's excellent. That's covered it all, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
And got extra.
Yeah.